time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Good morning to you. We are live in Las Vegas. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard with you for the next 3 hours. We are loaded today on the program here early on a Monday morning. Two guests today coming up in 2 hours. Pat Forte from Sports Illustrated is going to join the show. We are, the way it appears, Polly, very close. We are on the precipice of maybe having college football canceled this season. I hope that it completely flips today and this week. And we'll talk to Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill, to close up the show. I'll go over all the handle, the big bets that came in from the incredible weekend that we had. We'll talk about this coming up in about 35 minutes, maybe the worst beat I've had in my entire life. That was a doozy on Saturday, and win lose in 45 minutes. Let's begin with, not only the best morning events of the entire weekend, I would say one of the best morning events of the entire 2020 calendar year. Probably pretty easy to say that. We haven't had too many, obviously, but that golf tournament at Harding Park, the PGA Championship, was just the nuts. And so many golfers in contention to find, you know, on Friday, we talked to humans about this. How many guys can win? And he said probably 35. We're like, I don't disagree. Yesterday, how many guys still had a chance late before Morikawa finally pulled away? And he was 30-1 pre-tournament. Our guest that we have every single Wednesday, Jeff Seeley, Indy Jeff, our buddy, he had him last Wednesday. Others that we know had him as well, but just an amazing tournament, and that guy might be the best golfer in the world right now.
He, with the chip in and then the tee shot on 17, incredible. And there was an opportunity there in play. If you were able to, if you were quick with your thumb and fingers to get that in, it was $1.30, but then he hit the tee shot, and I was looking back. I had to back it up. I go, is that a par four or par three? Par four? Oh, it's over then. But I couldn't get in in time, and the $1.30 was a gift after the tee shot. Indy Jeff Seeley has had four winners since the restart. In his notes, NoCal native, who's fourth tee to green, third in ball striking, 35-1's a great number. Indeed, he nailed it again. Well, I'll take our golf experts against anyone in the country. With Wes, Matt, Brady, and Indy Jeff, they're unbelievable with the golf. But I was going back and Googling it. I'm like, are we going to have a six-guy playoff here? Has it ever happened before? And it has. We've had a six-man playoff. And then actually Nance brought on the guy to explain how they would do that and how it would work if they had a five- or a six-man playoff. So that had everything down the stretch. And you knew a couple guys would implode. DJ vomited on himself again. You thought Champ was going to win. You thought maybe Scheffler could win. DeChambeau couldn't make a putt to save his life. He was right there. DJ blew up. And I'll tell you, a guy that could have won, if not for the surreal piece of theater here with Morikawa, was Wolf, who he went back-to-back-to-back holes, and he missed three gimme putts. Or it could have been a different story for him. He rebounded on 17 and 18. But the drama there with the in-play and so many guys had a chance, that was great television. The one thing I could not believe was what happened to Koepka, which I guess the body betrayed him. But he was horrible Sunday.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, awful.
Yep. By the way, I had a Wolf ticket at 100-1. He was one of the guys that I bet before the tournament. So that was fun watching him explode yesterday. Now, I get it. He had that eagle, which was awesome to put him in, you know, contention in one stroke back. But to go back-to-back-to-back holes where he's kind of like burning the edges almost. But he had, I'm not going to call him gimme putts, but because obviously they weren't gimmies. How do you miss those three in a row? If that doesn't happen, he's probably sitting at 12 with a chance to go to 13 under for the tournament and be right there as the clubhouse leader then with all that pressure on those guys. He could have had a 2 or 3 stroke lead. And this is a good tweet from Wes on Wolf, who I bet again yesterday. I'll explain that coming up a little bit later on. Out of 79 players who played this weekend, Matthew Wolf, first shots gained, tee to green. Second shots greened off the tee. Third shots gained, approach. 66th in putting. That was his absolute downfall, and it was just another stomach punch yesterday with that 100-1 ticket. But he was right there. That was not for the taking because he was, you know, he was like on 16 when other guys were like on 8 yesterday. But man, oh man, this close to actually being another guy right there with a 100-1 ticket.
Well, that's a different ball game if he's in the clubhouse at 12 under.
Absolutely,
that changes everything. But he couldn't do it. And I actually grabbed Morikawa 9-1 when they were, I think they're heading to the back nine. And he was one or two shots back. He was all in that cluster that he was 9-1 at William Hill. He was 50-1 after round three.
Yep.
I can't believe that, what happened. So, I mean, Dave Koken tweeted other people, this guy's the best thing going in golf right now. I mean, this kid is something. Yep. I mean, this is scary what he's done.
And welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, good to have you on board with us today. We are beginning this hour by talking and recapping the PGA Tournament and what happened yesterday, the championship. How about this tweet with Morikawa winning? And look at this video here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me get it up. Hoist it. Ups. Oh, 23 yeah, years old.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But this tweet from ESPN Stats and Info, because he went 65 and 64 over the weekend. First career major title, but by shooting 129 on Saturday and Sunday, Paulie, that's the best score in the final two rounds of a major by any player all time. That's how he took it home yesterday. Mm.
$2 million, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of big bets on him. I can't believe that. That was it's crazy how much DraftKings takes in golf bets. Well, certainly they have a ton of cash, but there were some big bets on him. And the wild story, which was a guy in Colorado, he likes to bet pizza money on golf. Nothing wrong with that because there's so many guys involved. He likes to bet $10. So he puts $10, what he thought on Morikawa. He entered the wrong number, put 910 on it. So he had to track down Mike Palm and everyone at the D on the app and get a – well, long story short, they voided. He would have won $30,000 if he doesn't make the phone call. How about that? I mean, that's vicious. He wanted to put in 10. He put in 910. So he's frantic, going crazy, making phone calls. This was an accident. I only meant to bet 10. He would have won $30,000. They changed it for him. Great customer service with Circa Sports. There it is. He sent that in everything. Sent it to Sean Harnish, who sent it in to us. Mike Palm said, yeah, they had to work with the guy. And, okay, we'll help you out here. Oh, my God. How about that?
Right in the middle.
Yeah. It's like voiding a ticket at the sports book. If the writer makes a mistake, you can't do it. Let it go. Let it go.
And I'm sure that, you know, just go back and look at the history. Pizza money better, as he explained, doesn't dabble with a lot of money and accidentally hit the nine as he's putting in $10 to go to 910. Would have paid $30,000.
Yeah.
But DraftKings had one better. They took $75,000 on Morikawa, paid out $750,000. The number that he got. And then they took, this was on Dustin Johnson, plus 275 before yesterday's action when he was the leader going in. $350,000 on him, would have paid $962,500.
Why do that? I mean, were you that confident he was going to? How many times has he gagged doing that? He's been in this position many times and failed. I mean, he has one major. You know, the other thing, calm down, Rory. There was nothing wrong with what Koepka said. As Koepka, they thought, took a shot at him. But Koepka just explained Saturday, hey, I'm two back. I like my chances. DJ only has one major. DJ's done that many times where he's had the lead going into Sunday or right there in contention, and he's blown up. And it happened again. So, and Koepka also made the comment, I think it was last year, about, I've been on the tour for 5 years. Rory doesn't have a major. So, what rivalry? So they have a history there as well. But I don't think there was any problem with what Koepka said. And he was right again. He didn't play well. But DJ certainly couldn't get it done either. He was great on Saturday, but that was fantastic coverage, great action, and once again, they get me on the hole-in-one. Can you believe on Sunday? Bam, right in there. Delayed reaction, someone screams, and they get the hole-in-one on me again. It had everything. Even who's this character who signed the incorrect scorecard and got DQ'd? How about that if he had him in a matchup? I mean, this tournament had everything.
Yeah, he was in one of the matchups with Merritt, I believe, for the whole tournament. And if I recall correctly, I believe Merritt finished. He didn't even make the cut. So he was five over after the first 2 days. Out, get out of the tournament. Uh-huh. And then his matchup against Tringali, he was actually one over. But then he gets DQ'd because of signing the wrong scorecard. And imagine if that's how they're going to grade it at your sports book. The DQ is going to send him below the guy that finished five over. Here's one from Andy Molitor, who's a pro sports bettor. Imagine losing, and Rex Byers had it as well. That might take the cake. I think I have a beat that might be worse. Well, how do you sign the wrong incorrect scorecard, though? Yeah, I always wonder about that. How does that happen?
Yeah.
And if that's how you lose a ticket, ouch.
Yeah. Did DJ even finish top 10, did he? Where did DJ finish?
He was tied for, I have it right here.
Seventh?
He finished with Casey, tied for second.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, DJ came back.
He
birdied 18.
That's right, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I was going to wonder, it's like, how much money did he cost himself? Jeez, But that just, that was, you were thinking worst case, maybe a three-man playoff. How mm-hmm. I was coming down there. I mean, this is a six-way tie. We only have five holes left. And Faldo kept bringing it up, but if someone could get in that clubhouse at maybe 10 or 11, Wolf should have been better than that. But Wolf gets in there at 10, but then Morikawa became Superman. And what he did, not with the chip and then the unbelievable tee shot of his life, as Faldo said. And he nailed that. Ooh, that was good.
Wow. That's one of the best shots I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Well, DeChambeau almost did it too, but he couldn't get the kick to come back and then missed the short putt. But DeChambeau couldn't make a putt on that Sunday. I thought Tiger had that was encouraging for Tiger on Sunday. He played well after a rough start. Tiger was good on Sunday. So maybe he found something. You know, he won't give Amanda anything afterwards about his schedule. But let's do it again in a month with another major. And sure. It's going to be surreal with the Masters in November. But I'll tell you, I love Koepka's chances. Once he was got off to the great start and then was 6-under, going in to say he couldn't get anything going on the weekend. That surprised me, whether it was the knee or the hip. He's getting a massage, calling in the trainer nonstop over the weekend. Yep. That was very disappointing because I'm a big Koepka fan. And I want to see him dominate golf. That was too bad for Koepka, who blew up on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I want to see him not fall apart when he's actually in it on Friday, you know, going into the weekend. I want to see him be right there because to go back-to-back at the PGA and back-to-back at the U.S. Open, he's so good in these majors, and it would have been just a little bit more dramatic yesterday had he not fallen apart on Sunday.
Look at that prop at DraftKings. Is that how much that is, Kelly? To birdie the 72nd hole is 8-1? He just missed that putt. Morikawa just missed. Oh. I can't believe it's that high.
Yeah, they put up some awesome props.
They do. Yeah, that is an excellent prop. Good job.
Isn't that great, though? I've been calling for this for years. I wrote a story on this many years ago about how we should have a fifth major, how we should have a lot of things. We should actually have a major played internationally. We should have, other than the U.S., the Open Championship, add another one, call it the International. We should play a fifth major, and we should have absolutely more West Coast majors. That was great. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yep. With the NBA and the hockey going on Saturday and Sunday night, and it's going to go until 6-7 o'clock. If you're living on the East Coast, you're not going to bed last night. You're watching that and it's going
to
fall.
It's refreshing to actually see some golf coverage and watch all the shots. ESPN did a great job. How about Phil Mickelson in the booth? Going to be the next Tony Romo. I thought Phil was fantastic sneaking in.
He's a little too positive. That was my only thing. Yeah. That was it. You know, rooting on every single putt, every single shot. Oh, man, come on. What was that? You know, other than that, I thought very, very good.
It's good. Great weekend. I'll tell you, Saturday might have been one of the best days in the regular season of NBA history, too. The Saturday games. You know, what happened. Friday was disappointing with hockey. We'll get to that coming up. But Saturday in the NBA, with how all those games played out and the finishes and the sick beats, what happened? To start the day with that Clipper game, which was phenomenal. Then you follow that up with Nuggets and Jazz. 134 to 132 in double overtime, and Denver led by 6 with 10 seconds. Then the Pacers-Lakers game, and Warren has become Larry Bird here in the bubble. The Suns, who had this? The Suns are 5-0 in the bubble. Might have to win out to get in the 8-9. But, a week ago, what's this line? Phoenix against OKC. Are they catching 5? Is it more? Now they're laying
probably,
5 today. Right.
Yeah. And then, that number.
Yep. And then the Mavericks beat the Bucks in overtime, 136 to 132. And Luka goes for, what do you have? 36, 14, and 19. And it was good yesterday, too. But Saturday was nuts.
Well,
Saturday was crazy in the NBA.
It was also so good because on paper, like every matchup was just like, okay, this could be some wild stuff that we get. And that's exactly the way it played out. I think every game, I believe I have it right here. Underdogs on Saturday, 4-1 straight up upsets. Like you talked about Clippers, Denver, Indy, and Dallas all catching in Denver was catching 1, but a lot of those other games were 4.5, 5, 6, whatever, right around there. And every game went 5-0 to the over on Saturday.
Yes. Yes. And now with the bubble here. And what's transpired when you see either the Celtics and Clippers 1-2 in offensive efficiency, what Booker's done, the Suns are a great story, the Pelicans, get out. I mean, that's just embarrassing what happened to the Pelicans. Their numbers were horrendous with Zion on the floor and much better with him on the bench, which was a 180 from the regular season. Those DraftKings props that we mentioned before we started, teams that cash their overs, Suns, 2.5, they're 5-0. Spurs, 2.5 over. How about the Nets? They did it again. They won as 9-point dogs. I think they opened 12, but with no Paul George, that came crashing down. The Clippers never led in the game. Who are these guys?
I mean, they're down huge. Yeah. I actually got involved in play and bet the Clippers to come back and win when they were down. I think it was early second quarter, right before they went on that run. I got him at like $1.15, I think. And I thought, they're going to make a run. This is going to be no problem. And then down 11 at halftime, they come out, they score the first 11 points of the third quarter to tie it at 74. How about this? Yeah. ESPN Stats and Info. The Nets are now the only NBA team left that has had a lead in every game this season. The Clippers were the other team, but they never led in the game last night.
How can that be?
I have no idea.
God, has just been funky. And that was a juicy return as well. The Nets are the 7. Lock it up. The Nets are going to play Toronto, and the Bucks are going to play Orlando. Well, what was Orlando to get the 8 seed? That was a nice price.
Because it flipped?
Yeah.
It flipped after all of the players were going to be out for the Nets?
They keep winning games. I know. I mean, they play tomorrow. It doesn't even matter. So we know Milwaukee's the 1, Toronto's the 2, Boston's the 3, Brooklyn's the 7, and Orlando's the 8. Ah, there's the unders at cash, too. Bucks, ice cream, easy. Pelicans, easy. Easy under with the Pelicans.
Clippers after last night. Yep, that comes in. That was under. They were 5.5.
Yep, Matt liked that. Washington's going to be easy. They have to go to. They're 0-6. They have to go 2-0. To go over. They're only 1.5, but there's a lot. How can you like the Lakers? I don't like the Lakers at all. Milwaukee's struggling defensively and guarding the 3. That's cause for concern. The Celtics have been up and down, but still they have a lot of offensive firepower. The Suns have been great. This has been so fun to watch, and we only have 5 days left of this, and then we start the playoffs on a week from today, but we will get a play-in in the West. That's guaranteed as well. So Saturday we'll have that. And just think of it this way. It's like a best of 3, but the 8 seed already has a 1-0 lead. So the 9 seed's going to have to win 2 in a row. So that'll be Saturday, and if they win, that'll be Sunday too. So that'll be interesting. I mean, I'm surprised they're not going to start the playoffs till a week from today. But that's how they're going to do that. But this is just, it's all bunched up here with like the 4, 5, 6 in both conferences, how this could play out. Heat, 27 losses. Pacers, 27 losses. They played twice this week. Sixers, 28 losses. Clippers, 23 losses. Denver, 24. Houston, 25. OKC, 26. Utah, 27. So much on the line here, even though there's only 2 games left.
Oh. How about, so on that Nets game for another second here, 2 of their wins with all those backups against the Bucks. And they shot lights out. I think they hit like 21 threes in that game against Milwaukee. Huge underdogs. They won it outright. And the same thing yesterday. They shot 55% from the floor and 46.5% from downtown. They could not miss. And they shot 81%, Paul, in the game yesterday in the first quarter.
That's the just see some ridiculous stats here. Like in the start of the fourth quarter yesterday, the Sixers were shooting 63% from 3. Against Portland, and then that Boston game against Brooklyn. And incidentally, the Nets play Portland on Thursday. Could be a win and end situation for Portland. And as Kelly points out, our great producer, Orlando plus 250 to get the 8 seed. I never would have guessed that. I mean, I thought good for the Nets. Good for Jacque Vaughn too. They're playing hard. They're competitive. They're winning games, and they keep surprising a lot of people. Great job by the Nets. Great action. The Houston game was fun. What Warren's done in the bubble, Booker, Luka. So many guys like this are just putting up. How about Lillard? That was another thing. After what happened Saturday, and we'll run through everything with the tweets and all the other garbage. After what happened Saturday, you were thinking, can I get a prop on Lillard points over? 51. 51 points. You knew he would bounce back. I mean, that guy's a stud. So he goes for 51, and they needed all of them to hold off the Sixers. And that was a bad landing spot as that opened 3.5, closed 2.5, and fell 3. And plus they get the gift with Embiid leaving and not coming back. And 76ers, Portland's defense is just horrendous.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, they can't guard anybody. But they're going to be dangerous if they can get in there because they have so much firepower.
Mm-hmm. All right, good to have you on board today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. And if you're a sports fan and you haven't been to Bet Rivers Sportsbook, you're missing out. Bet Rivers is live streaming a massive number of sporting events every day from around the world. And you can watch live hockey, baseball, basketball, and more right on your phone. Sign up now for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app and get a $250 bonus on your first deposit. The best part of this offer is that all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. All those 5, 10, and 20-time playthrough offers can take a hike. One time is the only way to go. Go to Bet Rivers Sportsbook today and start your winning streak. Sign up now and get a $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are a one-time playthrough. There's no faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Download a Bet Rivers Sportsbook app today. All right, so all of that over the weekend. And we'll talk. Nick Bogdanovich is going to join the show coming up with William Hill in about 2.5 hours or so. If you had to take a guess right now, Paulie, which sport do you think was affected or impacted the most by handle, if there was one? Would it be UFC maybe, kind of getting lost on Saturday with everything else going on?
Yeah, and it wasn't on TV too. You had to watch on ESPN Plus. I would say the UFC. Yeah.
Yep. Kind of what I'm thinking as well. Yeah. Up next, we have series prices to go over in the NHL. And our guy who put together the VSiN Hockey Guide thinks people are completely overreacting to this matchup. Coming up next. Sports are back in full swing, and now is the time to get in on the action. If you're in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the best sports book for all your favorite sports. See for yourself their faster, easier app with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like no juice spreads on all NBA regular season games. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with a 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with the code VSIN250 and deposit $250 to get an extra $250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN250, $100 minimum deposit. Must be present in Indiana, New Jersey, or Iowa. Must be over 21. Additional terms and conditions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And 1-800-9 with it in Indiana. PointsBet, stay sharp. All right, Paul. I guess what a way for Toronto to go out, huh?
Losers. So yep. They're losers. You can't lose that game after what happens on Friday night. They were 18-1 to win the game, down 3-0 with 4 minutes left. They have lost 6 straight playoff series. 4 of them have featured a winner-take-all. They haven't won a playoff series since 04. They're losers. Just horrible. They owe so much to those great fans. It's a great organization, and it's just laughable with all the talent they have, and they get shut down. You know, Tortorella pushed all the right buttons. He goes back to Corposalo, and it works out. But in a couple of those games, they get shut out and can't even score, and then they come all the way. So much for momentum in sports, right? Where's momentum,
sure,
guy? After they blow the 3-0 lead, then they come back and they're down 3-0 with 4 minutes left. They win that game somehow in overtime. I thought it'd be a lot higher than 18-1 with the William Hill in play, and you can't come back and win the game, and they go out. Ridiculous. And now here we go. We get Columbus and Tampa again after what happened last year. How good is that? But just when you compare talent and offensive firepower, and I thought they were in trouble after game one. because they spoiled that great performance out of Anderson, who he started the series. He stopped 53 of 54 shots, but the series was tied at one. And just that's they're losers. There's no other way to say it. They're losers. That's
how do you not score a goal?
I know.
How do you come back like that?
I know. I mean, Toronto's got to be
3-0. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Columbus has got to be killing themselves for what happened to blow a lead like that. I mean, you're not supposed to win that game on Sunday. And then to shut them out? Oh. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, there were some good in-play opportunities as well. Because you're like, Toronto's not going to score. And you could grab plus 250 on Columbus minus laying the puck line, and then you could have bet it again because you knew the empty net was coming. And I know a viewer sent this in, and he's right. It's not all of them have won, but that's a great angle to bet the third period over in elimination games because they're pulling the goalie with 3-4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And even if they're down two, they're going to pull them and they're going to keep them out. And if they're down two goals, they're going to pull them again. So that's a great angle. And thanks for the viewer for pointing that out. Over third periods with the elimination games.
Yep. Yep. And now how about this turnaround, though? The first game that we get tomorrow is going to be Columbus and Tampa Bay.
Yep.
So Columbus is the one. We get one. We had six on Friday, six potential games, six elimination games. And how many of those, you asked me, how many game fives are we going to get? I said, oh, my God, is this wishful thinking? Can we get three, maybe? We got one. But the team that played late last night, they got to turn around to be the first game on Tuesday.
Yep. And I don't know how Columbus is going to score. I mean, I think the Lightning are going to win in five. I just think their defense is too good. And with Vasilevsky, I don't think Columbus is going to be able to score in that series. Now, the Flames-Stars series, that came out low to me. I'm surprised by that. You know, Calgary can score, but I think there's a big difference in goaltending and certainly defense, but Dallas plays low-scoring games as opposed to Calgary. That's a short series price, $1.15. And the disrespect, I'll tell you, jump on the Bruins. Everyone's killing the Bruins. And I feel bad for Boston. You know, Brian Burke was on. He was excellent on this. He actually changed my mind that this isn't fair that they dominated the season the whole way. They had 100 points. They were 8 points better than Tampa. But they go 0-3 in the round robin. And now they're the four. But this love for Carolina, whoop-de-damn-do. You beat the Rangers. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You're not going against Swiss cheese Lundqvist either. It's going to be Rask. Yeah. So they got to get the first line going. I mean, the first line has done nothing. And the power play has struggled too. Boston's had all kind of issues, but I'm confident that that the Bruins will take out Carolina. And the disrespect for the Bruins is off the charts.
Sure. I'll give you an example. Pete Blackburn tweeted out, Bruins should honestly open as underdogs versus the Canes. Andy McNeil, who put together the VSiN Hockey Betting Guide, responded, I will give you Carolina even money for $1,000. Yeah. Please let me know.
Yep.
You know?
Underdogs, come on.
Yep.
It's a three game. They paid three bad games. I mean, come on.
All right, up next, we could probably spend an hour on this game. I spent in the range of 2 hours looking in to this game on Friday night. And I think it maybe is going to go down as the worst beat to date that I've ever had my entire life as a bettor. That's coming up next. Don't miss out on the action this upcoming football season. You can now enter the Westgate Super Contest or the Circa Sports Million and the brand new Circa Survivor with the help of footballcontest.com. This proxy service has been helping people play for more than a decade, and all you have to do is sign up in person. Then they will submit your picks throughout the entire year. Sign up today at footballcontest.com. That's footballcontest.com/VSiN. I don't know what y'all did on your Friday nights. I mean, it was a treat to have all these sports back for the, you know, go back grade the last week we've had in sports.
Ooh.
From August 3rd, that Monday where we finally had the NHL and the NBA at the same time with baseball, and then into a weekend with, you know, full blown golf coverage, the UFC, another NASCAR event, two of them actually over the weekend. It was awesome. So on Friday night, and, you know, have a nice setup at the house with three TVs. The wife was doing her own thing, doing a little bit of work on her own. I said, you know what, I'm going to start to look at the overnight numbers. And they weren't really out yet in the NBA, Paulie. So I dug in, and I'm not making this up. when I tell you that I was online on my phone looking, doing Twitter searches, doing regular like Google searches on what I could find to see if the Clippers were going to sit some players in that game on Saturday against the Blazers. That was the first game out of the gates in the NBA. I could not find anything concrete. It was never announced until Saturday morning that Kawhi was going to sit. But on Friday night, I found a bunch of stuff that there was, let's just call it some pretty heavy speculation that Kawhi could be sitting in that game on Saturday, as they tend to do with him on back-to-backs, and then they would play him last night against the Nets, which they did. So based on that and looking into the game, I saw eventually that the overnight number opened up as the Clippers a 4-point favorite against the Blazers. And I said, okay, I have to act right now on this. And it was a small gamble, I thought, in my mind, that Kawhi wasn't going to play. So I thought, I have to go in. I have to fire right now on Portland +4. They had to have the game anyway for the most part, right? We thought at the time. I'm going to fire on Portland +4, and I'll make, I'll probably put like 40%, 35% of that wager on Portland moneyline +150, which is what I decided to do. Well, then lo and behold, on Saturday morning, plenty of time before the game starts, guess what happens? It's announced officially that Kawhi's not going to play. And then you saw this massive swing from the Clippers as a 4-point favorite, as like a 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5 point dog. The number just kept swinging in the favor of Portland as a huge favorite. And I'm like, wow, this is now, I clearly got one of the best numbers I've ever had. To find like an 8 or an 8.5 point middle, potentially in an NBA game, is ridiculous. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not going to go into the Clippers too much pregame. And I didn't at all to try to find that middle. But during the game, I said, I'll take a little bit back on the Clippers. And I found +5.5 at one point, and I said, okay, now I'm sitting pretty. And that game was close, or I was actually, you know, like this to winning all three bets for about 95% of that game. The Clippers led for maybe like a minute combined, 90 seconds combined, all the way until the very end. And then you saw how the game ended. I mean, they're up 5 with 90 seconds to play.
Yep.
And I have the Blazers +4. I have the Blazers money line. I have the Clippers +5.5. I couldn't ask for anything better. Up 115, 110, about 90 seconds to play. The Clippers finish on a 12-2 run. They win by 5.
Yep.
And that's how I lose.
And a guy who's 90% from the line misses 2. And then McCollum hits a 3 at the buzzer and they wave it off. So they would have put it on 2 as well, and everything. But then what happened afterwards is just ridiculous with Beverly. Beverly's never won a big game in his life. Paul George has never won a big game in his life. Paul, he just sent you home last year. He beat you in the playoffs, hit a shot in your face, and waved goodbye to you. Well, who are you to talk? And Lillard's right. You know, you don't want any part of the grind. You keep changing teams, right? I mean, that's ridiculous how the Clippers were acting and behaving, and the trash talk afterwards. And then Paul George says, well, you know, okay, but I've had so many surgeries. And he's like, you can't, like Draymond Green and Barkley said, you can't blame the surgeries for why you're jumping team after team and leaving. Remember, he was 2 for 16 in the pivotal game 6 when they lost to Utah. Then he comes back, they're smoking cigars and having that stupid party with Westbrook. We're coming back, unfinished business. Then they get beat in the first round again. And then he says, I want out. He goes to the Clippers. When they go and get stuff, that guy leaves. And he's never won a big game in his life. So for those guys to talk, it's ridiculous. And that guy, you're going after Lillard, and he sent both of you home with game-winning shots. So, yeah, he missed some free throws, and he struggled. But for them to chirp on the bench, you know, worry about, you know, the Clippers have had all kinds of issues. Never made a conference final. So worry about, take care of your business, all right? And then he just got beat by the Nets. So, although you probably didn't care. But still, the back and forth afterwards, which was a lot of fun on Twitter. But the arrogance of Paul George. It's like, you've won nothing. Nothing.
He just teamed up with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Okay. Please.
I'm staring in that game in play. I'm looking at Clippers. So I thought to myself, you know, how much should I actually take back on the Clippers here? Just because I loved my position on Portland so much, and I don't want to overload it. Just in case the Blazers win by 6, 7, 8 or more. And then I'm like, well, that was dumb because I had an amazing number going and I had them great on the money line. I don't want to like give half of it back or more. So I didn't do that. And I'm staring at the Clippers down by 5 with 90 seconds to play. It's 7-1 on the money line. I'm like, are they going to come back and win this game? I'm like, I love where I'm at right now. And then not only do they win, And like you said, Lillard goes to the free throw line down, what was it, 118, 117. I'm like, okay, even if I go to overtime right now, I'll take overtime.
Yep.
But just don't miss both. And Lillard goes to the free throw line, and he misses both free throws. And then McCollum hits the three. Just end the game. End the game. And by the way, for a temporary 90 seconds in time, some books graded that as a win.
Yep.
And then they came back and they had to reverse it. And then let's go to replay. Let's check it out. Nope, no good. Wave it off. And that's how that's the killer. Okay. I'm going to have bad beats throughout my entire life, obviously. And I've had as many as anybody else. That was a killer, the way that went down. But to put as much time into, I specifically said, okay, before the numbers come out, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this game, see what I can find with Kawhi status. And if it comes back looking like I have maybe a pretty good edge here and I can take the Blazers at +4. And by the way, even with Kawhi, Blazers +4 in that spot had to have the game the way they were playing. Okay, I'll take my chances with the Blazers +4 in the game.
I love this
record. Not the most ridiculous thing of all time. Yeah. And then just to lose like that after, oh my God. God.
All right. Get out of your system. There you go. All right. Feels good. There's your therapy. Very good. I mean, this is why I love this job and I love this racket. That they wave it off with McCollum and then Stanley Johnson. We have a gentleman's agreement. If I dribble it out, you dribble it out. He hits the three at the buzzer to make it 122-100 in the Raptors game, which that beat was worse. That total was 218 up to 222. It was 21-14 at the end of the first quarter. It's 79 points in the fourth quarter. Celtics dribble it out. It's a
blowout.
Yes. I'll come down. I'll try it. Nails it from the parking lot at the buzzer. Puts it on 222.
All right, Paul will run down all the betting moves and just the slew of bad beats that we had from over the weekend and win some, lose some coming up next. With major sports back in action, it is the perfect time to experience everything VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, has to offer. We created the Sports Restart Special as an introduction to VSiN so you can have access to everything we offer from now through September 21st. And here's what you're going to get. The daily email updates with recaps of best bets from our guests and hosts. This is huge because every day, if you can't, you're not going to be able to watch or listen to all of our programming. I mean, that's going to be pretty much impossible. But then with this email, you can get our picks. You can get Indy Jeff giving you Morikawa at 30-1 to win the PGA Championship. You can get Mike Palm. You can get Nigel Seeley. All of these will come at you in a daily email. You're also going to get Point Spread Weekly, VSiN's digital sports betting magazine with awesome information every single week, 24/7 access to our live video stream to watch every VSiN program, all special sports betting guides, including the hockey betting guide. It's the perfect way to see what VSiN has to offer and how our experts can help improve your sports betting experience every single day. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. Here we go. It's time now for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Yes, we're back. Sports are back. And this is my favorite part of the shows on Monday. The Blazers that we mentioned, +4.5 to a 4.5-point favorite. And the debacle there against the Clippers. Celtics-Raptors Friday, under. It was bet up from 218 up to 222. 21-14 at the end of the first quarter. How do you lose that? 59 points in the third quarter, 74 in the fourth. And the three at the buzzer by Johnson to put it on 222. More on that coming up. Nuggets Jazz under 222 on Saturday. Nuggets led by 6 with 10 seconds. They blow it. They win in overtime, double overtime, but as a result, it goes over, and it's 134 to 132. That game had everything as Denver gets the win, but they blow it late. Yesterday, Magic on the money line, plus 350, led by 5 with 30 seconds. Celtics win, 108-101. VGK Avalanche, that was yesterday, excuse me. VGK Avalanche under 6, goal with 1 minute left. Colorado ties it up, puts it over. VGK wins in overtime for the one seed. Great game. Predators Coyotes under 5.5 on Friday. Goal with 30 seconds left. By Nashville, Coyotes win in overtime, 4-3. A Moose, Blue Jackets, plus $1.30 Friday. 3-0 with 4 minutes left. Lost in overtime. And once Tavares scored to make it 3-2, you're like, they're going to get another one. They're going to get another one. And they did. And then the goal on the power play in OT, and then they blow it yesterday. The Blues yesterday, $1.45. The Stars scored with 30 seconds left to tie it. They went in a shootout. How about the Astros? Huh? Not so easy when you don't know what's coming. They got swept. They're 6-9 on the season. They're in third place. And Altuve's hitting .170. Up 2-1 with two outs in the bottom of the 13th Friday. They blow it. And the A's walk them off and eventually swept them as well. It's a beautiful thing what's going on with the Astros.
Did you see the comedy of errors by Altuve over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Mm. It's great. There's a guy on, what's his name? Astros Shame Tour 2020. He's got more Twitter followers than Correa. Win some. Lewis to win in round two at Circa, plus 550. Tucker by submission, 5-1. 1350 to win in round two. Sanchez, 10-1 by knockout and 12-1 to win in round one. Holland to win in round two, plus 450. Darish to win by KO, 5-1. Stewart at Circa, 20-1 to win by submission. Why not? His first of his career.
Wow.
Should have been higher than that.
Yeah.
Bad for the books. Spurs, Friday. 1.5 up to 9, fell 8. Suns plus 2 went off a 4-point favorite Saturday against the Heat. They covered. Heat sat a lot of guys. Bucks Mavs over 232 up to 238. 136-132 Dallas. 76ers yesterday plus 3.5 down to 2.5. Fell 3. Haaland, UFC, 430 up to 470. Weidman, 110 up to 150. Good job, Lou. Zalal, 330 up to 460.
Wow.
And UFC favorites went 10-2. Lose some. Pelicans, Wizards over 231 up to 236. That it didn't have a chance. $200,000 on Olenek in the main event against Lewis. $200,000 would have paid $350 at William Hill. Yeah.
Well, what'd you think? I mean, it looked like Lewis was close to tapping in the first round.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
He talked about it. He's like, after the match, when he was that guy's hilarious, by
yeah,
the way.
He is.
He actually told whoever was interviewing him after the match, he said that I couldn't breathe. How about that?
Yeah.
And he never tapped out, could not breathe.
ESPN experts, hockey analyst, 14 of the 15 picked the Penguins, 12 of the 15 picked Toronto and Edmonton, 11 of the 15 picked Nashville. I will update you on the next round as well, so we can take advantage of that. Yeah, what they
I will
pick.
Say this, because I came in on Friday, that was one of my in-pocket plays, Nashville plus 230 to win the series. Paul, I would argue they did it again.
They did.
The shots on goal, I think, top of my head, I think the shots on goal in game four was 52-34.
Yep. Kemper stole two games. Hot goalie. Anything can happen. I know. Nashville was the better team, but Kemper was great. My boy Blue, where you been? Got his own Instagram page, the French Bulldog. How about 181? There we go. Just get, yep, handing him the fork again. Going right into it. Eats everything with his paws, chopsticks, fork. Give him a bagel, pizza, bananas. Every last crumb. Yeah, there you go. He makes the noise at the end. This was great. Is this Gorilla Monsoon? Crank up the volume.
They're taking him out one way or the other. This is it for Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no. They're in the convenience store. They got security all over this guy.
They can't help him.
Two security guys are escorting him out.
Wait a minute. It's the Warriors music. It's the ultimate
Warrior. His friend comes in. Disheveled, no shirt on.
Is
Wait a minute. Is that the Warriors music? Guy comes in.
So good.
Look at that. The hoodie is completely unzipped. He's got nothing underneath it. Johnny Graybeard here trying to make it. Okay. All right. Oh, that was so good.
He comes running in, looking around. Where's my friend? Where is it? He goes crazy. And this was sent in from a viewer as well. Look at this. This dog walks around with a 30-pound weight in his mouth. I think it's a Rottweiler. Look at this guy.
I saw this, yeah.
And there's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. That's a regular Tuesday for him. Look at that. Some people have a bone. There's a 30-pound weight he's got in his mouth. Incredible. That's win-lose. Very good. Now, the other problem we have, and I've noticed this, we've only talked about it maybe once or twice on this show, but it's a big problem in the NBA. And it goes back to what Johnson did. Now, I was actually surprised Johnson shot the ball. But I watch all these games. And I know Bob Valgaris has tweeted about this before, one of the best NBA bettors ever. He now works for the Mavs. These guys, they think they're a bunch of Bobby De Niro's. I would fine them. They refuse to shoot the ball at the end of quarters because they don't want to hurt their field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. There's a lot on the line here, guys. These are close games. Any shot can help and change the outcome. So for them not to shoot the ball, Chris Paul did it yesterday where he's just 3-2, and then he passes the ball at the end. Right, and he's right outside the three-point line. Melo did it yesterday. He's right outside the three-point line, and he won't shoot it. And a lot of the guys try to make it look good, but it's just bad acting, where they look and they can see the clock, and they'll pretend the guy's in front of them. It's like, oh, he's going to block the shot. I can't get it off. And then as soon as it hits zero, then they shoot it. Now Curry's the one guy who doesn't care. He's probably good for 2 a month that he'll make from half court. But these guys, once they get over half court, they won't shoot the ball at end of quarters because they don't want to hurt their field goal percentage. And it's been years of this, and it's no matter who it is, superstars, bench players, watch all these games. It is infuriating to watch these guys. And if I'm a coach or GM, I would fine them and say, you have to shoot the ball if you're past half court at the end of quarters.
And they just you noticed Chris Paul do that. I believe it was Chris Paul that I noticed where clock is winding down. It's the ball's in his hands. We're talking probably 3 seconds left. Takes a couple of dribbles, acts like he's going to shoot. Doesn't.
Yep.
Waits till the horn. Then he goes like this, cocks back, and then he chucks it as hard as he possibly can. I'm like, clearly, Chris, you're what you just said, Paul, you're a bad actor. We can all tell what you're doing right now.
Yep.
Put the ball up. Don't fake it. And then you see the light go off and the horn sounds, and then you're going to chuck it 100 miles an hour at the backboard.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, boy, oh boy.
Yep.
Almost made that one, huh? You waited. Yep.
They act like the guy's going to try to block the shot or he's in their way when he's not. So they'll move over to the side. And by doing so, they wait and then they look at the clock and then it hits zero and then they shoot it. They have it down to a science. There's wait. I mean, all these guys in the league do it. It's like you shoot the ball. What are you doing? I mean, but yesterday was ridiculous. It's like, Portland's trying to make the playoffs. Melo's outside the 3-point line. He won't shoot at the end of the first or second quarter, whatever it was. Chris Paul passes the ball last second. Oh, it's ridiculous. And that's why the Stanley Johnson thing, it's like, of all people, he shoots it at the buzzer to put it on 222 after the Celtics just dribbled it out. God.
So you think that beat was worse than my Blazers beat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 21-14 at the end of the first quarter? Yeah. And Toronto's got the number two defense in the league? 74 points in the fourth quarter? 222? Yeah, 35 combined in the first?
Well, and I will tell you this. I was not involved in that game. Had I been, I would have been on the under.
Of course.
And that would have been a loser.
Yeah. Oh.
Because the Raptors are playing such great defense in every game, except that one is, basically going way under the total.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, in a blowout like that, great win, by the way, for the Celtics. Raptors were playing awesome basketball. But that was a really good win but you don't know what you're going to get from these teams day in and day out. Yep. The bubble has been absolutely insane.
It has. And that's going to be the second round matchup, and I can't wait because Toronto will take out the Nets and Boston will beat this Philly team now with Simmons out and
that
their horrible chemistry. So that'll be a great matchup in the second round. Ooh, a great coaching matchup.
Coming up next, we will get into today's NBA schedule, the current 4-5 matchup in the Eastern Conference. They meet today in Orlando. And this might be the best trash talk you've heard from one NBA player in a long, long time. We'll play it for you coming up next.